So, yeah, so we got that. Aletheia means the reality in God. So, why do I study the Bible? I study it to find Jesus Christ in it. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I was saying something. I said, you know, it's not about saying I will do a new thing. God is about to do a new thing. This is a season and all that. Is your season, is your time to restore. And, you know, God says I will open the windows of heaven. That's not what the scriptures is for. You know why? Because when those statements are made in the scriptures, they actually had a meaning. They had a context. They are not saying what we think they should say. They're actually saying what they are saying. So if you want to understand really what that say, that place is saying, you go and read from the top of the verse down. That's where people often miss it out. Yes. Yes. Now, scriptures has a place of encouragement, and there are scriptures to encourage us. Okay, we can find them in the New Testament, in the epistles. Okay, however, the Old Testament was written in the context of Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. Now, for instance, when I say I will do a new thing, if you read in context, when he said I will do a new thing, he was talking about the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That was the new thing he was talking about. All right. So it does not, for instance, when you just say, okay, God is about to do something, you now back it up with that scripture. That is a wrong application of the Bible. It's a wrong application of the Bible. Because imagine you're talking to me and I'm replying you in other language. We are not communicating. Okay, you understand? So that's the same way. When you're reading the Bible, you have to understand the mind of the Bible. And people are not that patient. They're not that patient. They feel like, oh, are you saying that we cannot take the scriptures to encourage ourselves? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that you must really be able to encourage yourself in the light of Christ. In the sense that you must encourage yourself the way God has constructed the encouragement to come. That is, when they, if there's a place of the scripture that speaks of something, you must acknowledge that something. If there's now something later that speaks of the thing that you're looking for, then you use that one. Don't use the scripture for what is not meant for. That is, don't use a text for what is not meant for. Use a text in the context it was written.
So, like, I'm just trying to understand, because, like, let's say we take that scripture, like,
I'm going to do a new thing. Forget the former things.
Yeah.
So what former things was the Bible talking about? Would you take what you are talking about or what the Bible was talking about? Which one would you take?
I mean, I just thought that wasn't it the Israelites, they kept on looking back at the negatives that they went through, and God was trying to say, okay, you need to look forward.
The I will do a new thing was about Jesus Christ. All right, there are many more scriptures, and in the course of the study, we're going to you know get to this actual study. We have done a few of them past weeks. For instance, where we said in the presence of God is the fullness of joy, that was talking about the resurrection of Jesus. You know, if you look at the scripture, look at the context, you discover it's talking about the resurrection. It wasn't for praise and worship. Praise the Lord! Are you ready? The Bible says, in the presence of God, there's a fullness of joy. Come on! You know, we use that to hide, but if you really want to do what Paul said, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly. You know, I when you come to a point where even if it sounds bad, in quote, which it is not, but even if it does not suit your emotions or suit your circumstance, if it's what the Bible says, I stand by the Bible. And that's the way you grow. You know, there was a time, watch this. There was a time I used to read the Bible like this. Okay, what's God saying today? Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you. Somebody just worship him tonight. And then I open the scripture. And then I see a place that says, today, you have made me angry. I will cause the, you know, canker worms to eat your harvest. And all that. And I said, God, I'm sorry, what have I done again? And then, and next thing, I open another scripture, and then it says something nice. And I said, yes, God is not happy. So it gave me a mentality that God was schizophrenic. I didn't understand the character of God. I didn't understand. So the thing is that I heard of someone that said, as someone opened the Bible and he read, and Judas hanged himself. And then he opened another scripture, and the scripture said, go and do likewise. And then he now said, he opened it again, go and do it what you must do right now. But you know, that was not a scripture that was referring to him, right? That was a contextual statement that Jesus made to Judas, not to you. Is it what he said? You have to realize that the context. Another example: a man of God, a preacher, he went on Facebook. He took out a text from Satan's quote. Satan said to Jesus, "Remember the temptation. Luke 4. He said, "I will give you all the kingdoms of this earth if you bow to me." Remember, he took it and put on Facebook, and then everyone started shouting, "Amen, amen, amen, amen." You know, it's a good promise. I will give you the kingdom if you bow to me. You know, yes, Lord, we bow to you. Lord, we worship you. Funny enough, and this man, a pastor committed, I say yes, amen too. But when this man corrected them, he said, look, have you read the context? He wasn't talking to you. It was Satan that said it. It was Satan. That's how to show people that if you don't read the Bible the way it's meant to be read, you will get the wrong picture that God never gave you. That is, if you read the Bible in a wrong way, obviously you will have an information in your mind, but that information would not be correct. But if you read it right, you will get the correct information. That's the same way. Many people have a God in their minds that does not exist. I'm not even joking. I'm not joking. Many people have a mind of God. That is, they understand, they have a relationship with God that does not exist. And we'll see it very soon. God. Do you know God is a different... That is, God is not as we are. You know how we see God somewhere, far in another planet, sitting down with white beard, gray beards, you know, with a crown on his head, sitting very big, as though, you know, he obviously is the Father, the creator of the heaven and the earth, which if you just misbehave, he's just gonna... I am the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for me to do. I can kill, I can make alive if I want to. That's the mindset. People have a mindset of God that if you don't bow low, he's a very holy God. You have to be careful so that if you know, God is about to only, he only loves humble people. If you're not humble, and that humble, humility is actually fear. But when you see God for who he really is, we see him in Jesus. Jesus, a humble. He said, learn of me, I am meek and lowly. God is humble. God is meek. God is lowly. Praise God. I don't want to go there. I don't want to hit things that are too far. We are still looking at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. And we have a long way. We have a long way to go. You know, but just so we cover what we have to do for tonight. Just look at it. Let's go back there. So rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly divided. I must do it rightly. If I do it wrongly, then I don't get the message. Hallelujah. Say if I don't do it rightly. Say if I don't do it rightly. Hello. Praise God. Say if I don't do it rightly, I won't get the right message. But I will do it rightly. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Now, let's look at John chapter 5 verse 19. Sorry, not John 5, 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Alright. It says, and from a child, you're there, right? Yeah. You have known the holy scriptures. And the old scriptures is Old Testament, so which are able to make you wise, you know, unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the holy scriptures through faith in Christ Jesus. So now, when he says rightly dividing, and he says it is for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, that means when you are reading the Old Testament, you're meant to see salvation how? Through what? Through faith. Did you see faith there? Faith in Christ. That word faith is so important. It's not by works. It is by what? Faith in Christ Jesus. So when I read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the books, I see faith in Christ Jesus, not works. Salvation is by faith. If it had ever been by works, then Christ died in vain. Look at Romans chapter 10. Are you there? Romans 10, 10 verse 1. Oh, it's cool. You're writing. You need the speed. You need to drink anointing oil. Yes. For quickening. Romans 10. This is Paul praying for the Israelites. All right. So he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." How can you be praying for Israel to be saved? Look at next verse. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." They have a zeal of God. They are on fire for the Lord. Let's get everybody on fire. We want fire, fire. They are also God. But it says, "but not according to knowledge." Read your translation, please.
"For I can testify about them. They are zealous for God."
Zealous, yeah.
"Their zeal is not based on knowledge."
It's not based on knowledge. So what is zeal without knowledge? Unbelief. Once a man is, "We're gonna take the whole city for Jesus, we're gonna pray, we're gonna fast, we're gonna take them down, bring the what? Break our walls down. Spirit breaker, spirit breaker, come on, sing with me. I've come down now, come down." Say, you know, when you have so much zeal, it's time for church. Oh my goodness, let's go to church. I'm going to church to praise God. That's not bad. All of this is not bad. But zeal without knowledge, accurate, precise knowledge. We talked about knowledge earlier. When you don't know the correct way to understand the scriptures, then you are empty. Emptiness is the problem we have. Many believers want to do. I want to prophesy, but get knowledge. "I had work to do today. I couldn't make it." Praise God. But we are here. You know, we are here to, even if nobody comes. You saw me here singing as though someone was here. I don't care. I will just do the work of God. And when someone is now, has deemed it fit to come, person, I'm always here by the grace of God. It's not easy. But I'm doing this because I know the importance of this. I know the importance. It's so important. You know, I would trade anything for it. I don't mind. You know, I'm here for Jesus. Hallelujah. So the thing is, knowledge is so important. That's why you can pray certain prayers and then you feel like God didn't answer. You feel like probably God didn't want that. You know how people misquote the scripture so much? James chapter, I think it's chapter 3. It says that some of you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss. So they use that scripture to explain that the reason we don't receive some answers to prayer is because we asked for the wrong things. Do you know that, right? Have you heard that before?
Yeah.
Oh, you. Thank God, you're...
I mean, I get it.
Like, do you know the truth? The truth is this. The way God designed us to be is that when we come in Christ, every single thing we desire, He gives us. Yes, He changes our desires, but our desires now become His desires. And when we ask anything, He gives us any single thing. That is, there's nothing like unanswered prayers. Nothing. There's nothing like God said wait, God said yes, God said no. There's nothing like that. All prayers, all the promises of God are in Christ, yes and amen. Yes, every time you pray, you can receive answers every time you pray. Every single time you pray. That's how God designed it. But many people, because of carelessness of Bible study, they don't know that.
I thought that when we're saved, it's a process of like our desires shifting
to His desires. Exactly.
Because of my lack of understanding,
yeah,
maybe lack of wisdom, I thought that not everything that I pray for,
yes,
I'll get. Like, for example, if I say, okay, I want to pray that I go to America,
yeah,
but what if it's not in God's will for me to go to America? So He's not going to answer.
If it's not in God's will for you, would be first of all based on why you got saved, because it's so important to get a lot of things are involved in this. The reason people got saved in the first place would be the reason would determine the way they will live after they got saved. If you got saved for if you got saved as, you know, seeing Jesus as a means to an end to get your things, you've gotten saved for the wrong reason. But if you've gotten saved for salvation in Christ, for justification, for purity, for, you know, for peace with God and faith in Him for the forgiveness of your sins, that will determine the way you see things in life generally. You know, obviously the place of teaching would come and all that and stuff like that. You know, demons ask Jesus. They pray to Jesus and He answered them. Demons, how much more are you? Demons said, Jesus, please don't cast us to that place because our time has not yet come. Please take us to these pigs here. Jesus answered their prayers. Okay, get out, go there. How much more are you? Jesus says, if your earthly father, are you asking for bread, he doesn't give you stone, how much more your heavenly father? How will he give you good things? Jesus never ever said that we will not receive answers to our prayers. He only said, if you don't doubt, you know. But knowledge is important. It's important. Knowledge is important. So they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. Look at the next verse. He says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, look at the ignorance, are going about establishing their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So there's a righteousness of self and there's a righteousness of God. Look at the next verse. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. This is so fundamental, yet many believers are ignorant of this. He says, their righteousness, they are going to establish their own righteousness. Do you know you can establish your righteousness? You can think that God answers you based on what you've done, based on how good you are. But once you realize that it's based on the righteousness of God, you receive answers to prayers. You don't pray for someone because you have prayed. You don't pray because you have been believing right for the past 2 weeks. You pray for somebody because of Jesus' righteousness. That is the righteousness of God. That is how you make things available, by the righteousness of God, not your righteousness. All the gifts of the Spirit work like that. So it says Christ is the end of the law. What law is he talking about? Verse 4 it says Christ is the end of the law. What law do you think he's talking about? Think. Okay, when you say the law, God gave us laws, what do you think? What comes to your mind? Which laws?
Isn't it just like the Ten Commandments?
Yes. Yes, exactly. You're correct. Yeah. It's not that hard. Don't worry. Bible is not deep. So, when he said the law, Christ is the end of the law, means Christ has fulfilled all the law. So, you don't need to fulfill any of those laws. So, even if you have missed Ten Commandments, as long as your faith is in Christ, all things are possible. I'm not teaching the supernatural life here, but you know, that's the word of God for you. Everything is the same message. Okay, look at Galatians 2 verse 16. I told you I brought scriptures today. Galatians 2 verse 16, and we'll soon be rounding up. I told people that today we're going to find out who was in a Garden of Eden and all that. and the story. We are going to just touch that a little bit, and then next week we'll get into it. Knowing this, Galatians 2 verse 16. Knowing this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even when we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Look at Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. Galatians 3 verse 11, I read. It says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. I want you to see that. Galatians 3 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Look at Galatians chapter what did I write here? Look at 5 verse 4. Sorry, look at, no, stay on 20, stay on 3, look at 24. Stay on chapter 3. Verse 24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now look at chapter 5 verse 4. Galatians 5 verse 4. Oh wow. Oh, look at Galatians 5. Oh, yeah, see 24. Let's look at 24 again. 24. It says what? It says, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So it's by faith, not by works. More scriptures. Galatians 5 verse 4. It says, Christ is become... Okay, I'll wait for you. Galatians 5 verse 4. That's I'm teaching how to be fast. It can be skillful like that. Galatians 5 verse 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. So how do you fall from grace? By justifying yourself by the law. Falling from grace is not sinning against God. Falling from grace is justifying yourself by your works. Now, Romans 3 verse 19. It's okay. Romans 3 verse 19. I'll wait for you. Romans 3 verse 19. Romans 3 and verse 19. I'll read it until you get there. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith. This is so important. We're reading from 19 to 24. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, okay, that every mouth may be stopped, that the world may be guilty, you know, before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, can we read that verse 20 together? Okay. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Read this in your translation. Yeah. By the works of the law. Okay. Look. Let's go on. Say, but now the righteousness of God. Just follow me. But the righteousness of God is no. Okay. Without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. So we are justified apart from the law. Now that's established. So when I read the Bible, what am I meant to see? Salvation through faith, not by works, not by the law, but by faith, but by faith in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now we get into the lesson which we're going to crown up with. We get into the lesson. It says, John chapter 5 verse 19. John 5 verse 19. Are you there? Okay, awesome. You go there before me. Now, I read. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, very, very, the word very, very there means I affirmatively say, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, he this also the Son doeth likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showed him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Now look at verse 30. It says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father. So Jesus said, I can't do anything that God does not do. So if you want to know what God can do, you look at Jesus. Okay? If you check the Old Testament, for instance, let me give an example. You see Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a very high one for you. But let me ask you, just be plain. When you look at Jesus and you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, would you say Jesus destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? Nope. But Jesus is God. You know that, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that has existed from the beginning. By him were all things made. Colossians 1. So, it means that there's a question mark in Sodom and Gomorrah as to who is behind the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Second question, Noah and the ark, was it God that destroyed the world with the flood? If Jesus is God, which he is he the one that destroyed the world? Let's ask ourselves the question. It can't be Jesus. Look at Jesus. Look at the picture of Jesus. Jesus is God explained to us. So what Jesus says, I can do nothing of myself. So therefore, if I look at the Old Testament and I see God doing something, I must have to question who did it. Because Jesus says, whatever I do is what God does. Yeah, he said it. How did your translation put it?
Very truly, I will tell you,
Nothing. God, he can do nothing.
What he sees the Father do.
Okay,
because whatever the Father does, the Son does.
Jesus is not the good side of God. Jesus is God. Jesus is not the good side of God. Thank God he didn't shout deep. Say it again. All right. Jesus is not the good side of God. Jesus is God explained in fullness. Fullness. Do you know that? Okay, look at Colossians 1 verse 15 quickly.